I want to welcome each one of you to the service this morning. I believe in my heart that you're here by a divine appointment. Each one of you here are here by divine appointment. And I'm trusting God, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life, that we will glean something from today that will glorify the Father. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 14 to 21 will be the theme of the message this morning. Romans 5, 14 to 21. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so as a gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the greatness, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin aboundeth, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign throughout righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you, Father, that by one man sin entered into the world. It is only by one man that we can be made righteous. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us. Again, we're trusting your Holy Spirit that you would minister through each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I just so appreciated the message this morning already. The worship, it was just good. Good to worship. And what you had shared, I just trust God will lead you in the future, that you can glorify him in all you do. I just so appreciated even how you mentor those young boys. And that's just a foundation of Christians. That's what we should be doing, making disciples. So the title of my message this morning is From Loss to Belonging. I just thought it would be fitting to go back and just see where we have come as human beings. Go to the very beginning in Genesis 1 as a foundational message. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Here God said, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Here we see in those two chapters, verses, that God created us in his image. In the image of God created he him. We are created in the image of God. Each person in here, each person in all the churches, even in the world, are created in the image of God. We are all created. And that means we have value. Each one of us have value. Each person has value because he is the creator. We are his creation. We have value. He purchased us. There is a connection between us and God that is not between any other animals or anything. There is a connection between us that he created us for a relationship with him. Genesis 2, verse 7. So he created man in his image. Verse 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Something else we see here is God created us, and then God went and he blew into the nostrils, and man became a living soul. Mankind came into existence. God creating him, and God breathing into a living soul. So that shows us we are made with body and soul. There's a body and a soul. Outside, we see your hands, our feet, our face. That's body or flesh, whatever you want to say. But then our soul encompasses our mind, will, and emotions. But then there's also a spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit is what gets renewed by Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ enters in, we are bought, it is brought to life through Jesus Christ. So body, soul, and spirit. The world wants us to focus on our body. You know, making sure our body is, you know, we look nice. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the spirit, as Christians, we believe the spirit is most important. We feed our spirits. And as we feed our spirits, our soul, mind, will, it comes in a line. It should come in alignment with that. As we feed our spirits. Another thing is our spirit is eternal. It's never going to die. Somewhere it's going to be in eternity. Our spirit is going to live forever. So we're body, soul, and spirit. And that's why, as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, our spirit is what becomes born again. Our spirit comes in union with Christ, with God. That's how we connect with God, is through our spirit. And as we feed the Word of God, as we feed on the Word of God, our spirit and our mind, our will, our mind gets renewed. And that's why we can say in Matthew 5, verse 48, it says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect." It is our spirit that is perfected. And we're not saying that our body is, we don't want to focus on our body, because our body is important. The Holy Spirit lives within our body. In Acts 7, it says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Here, Stephen, he was being stoned to death. And he knew his body is going to die. But he cried out, he said, receive my spirit. His spirit is what gives to be within eternity. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our spirit, our soul, and our body. That's what we compass. That's who we are as people. We are body, we're soul, and spirit. Three-part beings. Again, what order is this in my life? What order is this in your life? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? God, or the Holy Spirit, indwells with your body, in your body. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, reads, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's talking about the believer here. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are bought with a price. Hallelujah. So then we think about Adam and Eve in the garden. I believe they were body, soul, and spirit. And I believe in the garden, when God put them in the garden, their body, their soul, and their spirit was alive, was in union with Christ. And it says here, it reads here in Genesis 2, 15 and 18, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now listen, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat thereof, or eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for it is the day, for in the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. Here again, God specifically told Adam. He told Adam what to do and what not to do. Then as we read on, I'm not going to quote that, but as we read on, God seen it fit for Adam for a helpmeet. And he created a helpmeet for Adam. And they were walking in the garden. I can only imagine walking in the garden in the cool of the day, talking with God, talking communion with God. Doesn't that just make you, wow. That's how it was in the very beginning. Doesn't say how long they were in the garden. It doesn't say. It could have been a couple years, a couple days. It doesn't say. But it says they were walking in the garden. And then the serpent, Genesis 3, verse 3, says, now the serpent was more stubble than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the fruit, eat of every tree of the garden. And then what happened? And the woman saw the tree, and it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Experienced something there that never had experienced before. It was death. Death. They didn't drop over dead right there, but something happened. And here again, He was in fault here. He was responsible. We can see Eve first took a bite. She took the fruit and she gave it to her husband. One thing we want to just recognize here is, who did God tell not to eat? He told Adam to do not eat. So he was responsible, for he was right there, I believe. And he did not, he left her go for it, or you know, get an apple or get her fruit. It doesn't say an apple, it says fruit. So he was responsible. That's why we say, see in Romans 5, how we talk about it, Adam. Through Adam, sin has come into the world. Through Adam, we have all become sinners because of Adam. Verse 7, Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. Now, I don't think they were hung up on their bodies. It was just something happened. There was shame. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. Okay, again, no longer is it walking in the cool of the day, walking with God. No longer is it. They're no longer doing that. Now they're hiding themselves. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? What happened here? So now they ate of the fruit of the tree. They ate of the fruit. Now what are they doing? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. What do we see there? We're starting blaming each other. Not taking responsibility for what we have done. We're blaming someone else. Spiritual death is evident here because they hid themselves. They hid themselves because from the presence of God. No longer is it, let's go have a cool afternoon walk with God. Now it is hiding themselves from the presence of God. Now if you read the next 11 chapters in Genesis, you see how man just fell and fell and fell apart from God. You can even see, you know, you see the two sons growing up, the first son, Cain and Abel, how Cain killed Abel. Right soon after this. And you're like, wow, how did this happen? And you think about the fruit, eating forbidden fruit, and killing someone. Just the difference of that would be like, wow. In the sin scale, it's just like way beyond. But that's just what you read. The next 11 chapters in Genesis, it just gets worse and worse. Because of one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. How else? So we can say that we have been we can't help it. We're just sinful men, sinful people. We have been, it's just, but we also choose to sin. We have chosen to sin. But praise the Lord. And because of one man, Jesus Christ, we become righteous. By one man, sin entered into the world. We have inherited sin. We also have chose to sin. Colossians 2, verse 9 says, "For in him," this is Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Jesus was the perfect representation of God. Here we see Jesus being fully the perfect representation of God. What did they do? They couldn't wait to kill him. They couldn't wait to kill Jesus. But he was the perfect representation of God. And we think, why did they? What about if he would come in our time? I believe it would be the same thing. It just gets worse. Romans 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Not only do we reject the truth of God, we suppress it. Apart from God, apart from Jesus Christ, not only do we reject the truth of God, but we suppress it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Here it is. Whom God of this world hath blinded. We are blind. We're spiritually, we are blind. Without Christ. Christ comes and enters in. And we receive him as the Lord, as our Lord and Savior. Our eyes are open. That's why we can say, if someone has not given their life to Christ, he is spiritually blind. He is blind. Romans 6, verse 17. "But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." It says, it just gives a picture of before we encounter Jesus, encounter with Jesus, we are slaves to sin. We're slaves to sin. And we think, how can that be? I don't think I'm believe you think about a person that's not born again. I don't believe I'm a slave to sin. But try and stop sinning. You will see how much you're a slave to sin. John 1, verse 9, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I'm just giving you a picture of mankind. Apart from Jesus Christ, this is universal. This is not just out in the world. This is universal. Apart from Jesus Christ, this is who we are. Matthew 18, verse 11, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." Loss. I just had thought about, where there was a group of people, a big group of people, and one of our children wander off. And it's not that they do it on purpose, it's just they wander off, and they can't find their parents. They're lost. And how our hearts, where is it? Where are they? Where are they? They're lost. We can't find them. And that's how we are apart from Jesus Christ. We're lost. So how does God describe our condition? Lost, blind, slaves, reject the truth. That's who we are apart from Jesus Christ. What is God's response to fallen man? What is God's response to the lostness of the people? The people he loves, the people he cares for. First Peter 3, verse 9. It says here, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He is not willing that any should perish. Nobody. He doesn't want anybody in the pit. He sent his son Jesus that we can be saved from that. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 6 and 6 to 10. "For when we were yet without strength," we were without strength, "in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Hallelujah. Verse 7, Romans 5, verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die." "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Hallelujah. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ, we are saved. It's the only way. By one man, sin enters into the world. It's essential by only one man that our sins can be forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? I have never loved anyone like that. Where someone has just simply ridiculed me and gave my life for them. Now I believe Christ in me. I believe I'm heading that direction. It's the only way, through Christ. We think about Adam in the Garden of Eden. And God wants to take us far beyond Adam. We believe when Adam died, he went way, way down. He went down. And we believe that God not only wants to take us to this point, but he wants to take us way beyond Adam ever went. That's what I believe. God's response to fallen man is, "I'm not going to leave them there." Colossians 1, verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ indwells the believer. It was never said of Adam that Christ indwells him. We don't know. But never said that. But he indwells the believer. It only gets better. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. We know that's Jesus. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Become the righteousness of God? It was never said that of Adam. He was the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God through Jesus. It's like we have never sinned if we believe in the Lord Jesus. If we believe Jesus Christ, if we believe Jesus as a personal Savior, our sins are washed away through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. As we think about the blood of Jesus, we sing about the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? Is it literally the blood of Jesus? I believe it's a person and the work of Jesus Christ. The person, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's the Son. It's person. And then the work. The work that he has done on the cross. He died for us. He paid the debt for us. Through Jesus Christ, shed blood, we are, and we believe in that, we are made righteous in right standing before the Father. Second Peter verse 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature. It was never said of Adam that he had this divine nature. We as believers have the divine nature of Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Fellow workers. That's what some of the translations said. For we are laborers, fellow workers. We are partners with God. We partner with God for the work that he has for us. We partner with him. Ephesians 1, verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, it was never said that Adam was a son by adoption. We are adopted into the family of God through Jesus. We're adopted into his family. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus, that is how we are made clean. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we become clean. So God is not interested in just taking us back to Eden, where we have this where we have walking with God. He wants to take us way beyond that. He gives us, he makes us partakers. He makes us righteous. We are fellow workers. We are adopted. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So this morning, we can either identify ourselves with Adam, or we can identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. Makes the biggest difference in eternity. In eternity, we will live forever. Our spirits. I'd just like to end with Corinthians 5, verse 14. Actually, 2 Corinthians 5. 14 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, and that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This morning, if you have not committed your life to Christ, don't hold off. Don't wait. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all.